from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Welcome back to, I guess, this crazy month of Save the Good Atheist campaign, which means a shitload of shows for everyone. You're going to get sick of me, if such a thing is possible. I'm sure it's possible.
Trust me, I know. It's totally possible.
100% possible. There's a threshold, really. I think it's like the third day. If you haven't seen me in a long time, by the third day, it's just like, get the fuck out of here. But those 3 days are really awesome. Just by the third day, it's pretty bad. Now, for those of you who don't follow on Twitter or don't pay attention to Facebook much, I wanted to just let you know that my birthday has just passed. Actually, it was yesterday. We are now the February 29th. And what's noticeable about this day is that, technically speaking, this is the day that I should have been born. On the February 29th, 1980 is when I should have been born. My father requested it, practically, because I was prematured. So they had a choice of the 28th and the 29th to induce labor. And my father fought valiantly for the 29th because he only wanted to purchase, you know, birthday gifts every 4 years. Being
is the 29th is the leap year.
It is the leap year day.
Today is a leap year day. Yep.
Mm. It's a leap year day. Yeah, it's when we just correct our clocks because they're always off. Every year you're off by like a quarter day, fools.
Is this because we're using some kind of imperial day system rather than some kind of smart metric like, there's 365.2 quanto days?
The problem is it's unavoidable because it just turns out that while the rotation of the Earth is kind of a round number, it's not one that's easily divided, and we just have to deal with the fact that because we just decided on kind of like the calendars that we have and the limitations, sure, maybe future calendar where it's star date, whatever, we don't need a fucking leap day where you're just like, we invented a day now. Once in a while it shows up, and it's weird.
It is kind of weird.
You know what's the weirdest thing about leap day? It actually used to be the only day that was acceptable in old times for women to ask men to marry them. That was the one thing about leap day. You had to avoid your fucking girlfriend if you were afraid that she might pop the question. And you were not allowed to say no, by the way.
What a hilarious, interesting twist that you could pull. Like, if there's only going to be one day and then you plant it on that once every 4 years day. That's sneaky. Sneaky, man. Sneaky. Well done.
Well, it's funny, too, because there's a lot of... I was on Salon.com, and there was a pretty funny article that is essentially all these postcards from the time. And I felt like, okay, remember how we always have shows about sexism? And I'm sure there's tons of people that always think that our views are retarded. That's fine, because I don't care. But I think that you should visit that site and see just, I guess, the subtle ways that sexism used to sort of, like, be... you know, just be the thing. Like, for instance, the way that they depict women in most of these postcards where men are being held hostage at gunpoint with marriage, and they're very tiny, very, very small, diminutive, while the women are really big, huge, overimposing, overbearing, and it just... And the funny thing, too, is that there's this other postcard where these gentlemen are just, you know, at a bar, and there's this one guy who comes back defeated. He's like, oh, no, I've gotten caught, you know, on that one day of the year where you're not supposed to get caught.
Well, I mean, you even see that nowadays. Men are, quote-unquote, scared of marriage. And I imagine back in the day, the pressure must have been ratcheted up to, like, 20 or something like that. If you were dating a woman for long enough, and especially if you wanted the honey between her legs, then you better believe that the pressure would be there for you to fucking marry her and make her an honorable woman.
Well, I mean, there's that, but you also have to remember that there was always... Here's real sexism as far as I'm concerned, because you looked at the way that things were depicted, let's say, from the 1990s to, let's say, 1910s. I don't know. What is that called? The tens. What the fucking is that?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. But anyways, the tens on... towards, I guess, where things started to change a little bit, we'll say the 1960s, you'll find all these postcards that have this, they show the attitude that an unmarried man is a good thing. Bachelorism is acceptable. But the opposite is not true for women. Being single is spinsterhood. That's bad. Boo, you're a spinster. You have a whole bunch of cats. You're creepy.
You're going to have to go out there and get a job. That's really weird.
It's like, you know why you're a spinster? Because you're just like that chick in, what's the name of that? I don't want to say Midsummer Night's Dream. The Taming of the Shrew with Fiona. Is it Fiona? No. What's the bad sister? The one that no one wants to bang?
I don't know. I hate Shakespeare.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, the point is that what's hilarious about that story is that the one that can't really get married that's older,
yeah,
she's just opinionated. That's her deal. Opinionated woman, we don't like that.
Well, that's how it used to be back in the day, man. Like, the more opinions a woman had, the more likely she was to disagree with her man, and that was a bad thing. And I'm like, what are you going to talk about if you don't disagree with things? I mean, for me, I need a woman with a lot of opinions and a lot of interests. Otherwise, what am I going to do? Sit there and just tell her my ideas, my stupid, boring ideas?
But don't you think that maybe...
Talk to her about Ultimate Fighting and Atheism? Woo, hot marriage.
Don't you think that maybe that was... I guess maybe the problem was that as if a woman gets older, it's not so much that she's less attractive physically. Because you know what? As I get older, I don't find that's true. I mean... the older I get, the more I find older women attractive. And I think you just kind of adapt that way, too.
I've been gaining an appreciation for MILF porn.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So I don't think it's that. I don't think that's the problem. The real problem is that when women get older, they start developing their own opinions. You know, like a 20-year-old woman and a 30-year-old woman, very, very different.
Yes.
Very fucking different. Especially in your ability to negotiate with them. See, if you're writing the contract for marriage when she's 20, and you're writing the contract for marriage when she's 30, that's going to be a very fucking different contract. One where you don't have the upper hand. So I can kind of understand when we used to have this attitude of like, let's keep the ladies down. I really like having an advantage. But I think that that shows a kind of very narrow-mindedness. This was a time, I think, where people didn't necessarily appreciate the kind of advantages you have when ladies have power. You know, like, we have a more peaceful society because ladies have more power. You know that?
And things are swinging kind of the way where you're going to be seeing more men being stay-at-home dads and stuff like that. And I'm shooting for that fucking star.
You know what the problem with the whole stay-at-home dad is? Mm-hmm. I've been doing some research, and statistically, stay-at-home dads do really poorly. And the wives of stay-at-home moms, like, as stay-at-home dads, they'll do less housework, take care of the kids in sort of like a less effective manner. And this is statistically speaking. I don't want to say that this... This applies to us all, sexist towards men.
Jake. Rabble.
But there's still kind of many of, statistically speaking, we're still kind of shitty stay at home. Yeah.
Well, I was watching this MTV reality show about teenage cage fighters in Mississippi, and there's a scene where there's one of these kids, he's like 18 maybe, with his girlfriend and his like 3-month-old daughter or something, and he's like, I want that kid every 2 days for 2 days, and I'm going to keep him and hold him and hug him and call him George. I'm like, don't give that fucking kid that baby. It's going to end up, like, in its crib for, like, 5 hours during the day or something like that while he plays Xbox. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Talk about the least stimulated generation ever. Like, here's the thing. This is going to sound depressing, but our parents' generation, I'm sad to say, has failed in their goal, which is to make the preceding generation wealthier and more educated. They have failed at this. Now, how are we going to do if our parents failed us? How shall we fail our own kids? Pretty fucking spectacularly if the trend continues. So, you know, there's every reason to be worried when morons raise kids. Abso-fucking-lutely.
I don't know. The way I look at it is less competition for my kids to cut through.
It will be like a hot butter through knife. A hot knife through butter.
Your parents failed you, dude.
They did. They taught me that thing wrong. My brain farted, and it's all my parents' fault. I blame them. Mm. I'm the blame them generation, though. I think that's going to probably be our moniker. Blame our parents, and then live in their perpetual failure, and then be like, I couldn't do anything because my parents were bad.
You can blame the boomers. I like that.
Yep, blame the boomer generation. That's what I am. and I'll make no efforts to try to improve the world around me. That's that is statistically my generation. We'll be the world's worst generation, just like our grandparents were called the greatest one. We'll be actually the worst. Ladies and gentlemen, the future is bright. You know what? Speaking of bright future, I want to talk about a couple topics on this radio show, this glorious radio show. The first one is going to be how a judge in the U.S., in Pennsylvania, basically dismissed a case, an assault case against an atheist, because I guess the atheist was being a big meanie pants.
He deserved it. He deserved it. He totally deserved it.
He totally deserved that punch in the face and getting choked. We're going to be talking about one of the comments in the forum, which was a member who's going to be taking on some creationists that are coming to his school, and he's been asking people on the forums for some advice. I'll be providing some of that and encouraging your advice, your advice as well.
Well, is that you as in me or you as in the listeners?
No, the listeners. Oh, I'm talking to the listeners now. You.
Yeah, fuck me.
I'm not looking at you. Have you said one thing in the forum, you sack of shit?
I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah. Have you gone on?
I've been really busy. I literally just got home like 2 days ago,
All right. All right. No one's been asking for you, though. So actually, everybody's been asking for Jeff. There's a whole forum thread being like, where's Jeff?
Well, fuck.
We want Jeff.
Now I'm jealous. My disinterest has come home to roost.
Well, there you go. I know that I can always manipulate all the show's hosts by making them jealous of one another. That's good.
It's good. It's a good plan.
I'm manipulative. But yes, finally, the last topic we're going to be talking about is an outbreak of the measles at the Super Bowl, courtesy of the worst generation ever. But we'll get to that later. First, though, I want to move in the middle. I want to talk about the middle part first. Which is the creationism part. Now, as you guys know, I started the forums recently. I do apologize to everybody because the forums are a little bit slow.
Oh, well, like, is this loading slow and everything like that?
It's loading slow. I'm going to be trying to take care of this weekend, and I've got, like, finally my fucking internet guru is going to come down, and I'm going to go through every little bit of code on the site and make sure that the user-end experience is going to be fucking flawless. So, but still right now, yeah, it's taking a little bit of time. Please be patient. It will get resolved.
I think it might just be, because you work on it all day, it starts to frustrate you. I haven't noticed, like, crazy, like, over 20-second load time.
Well, it depends, because I was doing tests all around the world, right? Because we get visited from all around the world, and there are some places that have to wait an unacceptable amount of time to get certain pages to load. Not willing to put up with that. But, yes, in the forums, I think, which I'm having a fucking blast being, by the way. I love reading everything that people put. But one user, Demex, wrote that the Christian club at my high school has invited creationist Bill Morgan from www.fishdontwalk.com to speak at one of their meetings.
Fishdontwalk.com.
Yeah, that's his website. Needless to say, I'm organizing a rapid response team to kick his ass with words, including trying to get one of my school's biology teachers in on the action. But I really have no idea how to go about doing it. There's no shortage of atheists and skeptics on campus, but getting them organized well enough to go toe-to-toe with a seasoned creationist debater is pretty dangerous. Any thoughts or advice? So we're going to be talking about what I think he should be doing, because I did do a little bit of research. I went to fishdontwalk.com, which, by the way, I dare you to just type in fish walking on YouTube, and I think you're going to find right away that fish do walk. It's kind of creepy when they do, and you just got to get used to the fact that fish walks.
Yeah, they found the fish with feet. They found that.
I have a picture of one on the site. It's not just that there used to be some. They're still around, man. Like partial amphibian creatures that swim and walk. Yeah, like that's unheard of. Hello? Have you ever seen a crocodile? I mean, it's basically that. Okay, so the first thing that you'll notice about Fish Don't Walk is, now I do admit that there's lots of times where I would say my first advice when taking on a creationist, normally do not underestimate the creationist debater, because you're not actually debating the finer arguments of creationism. What you spend most of your time doing is debating the finer points of science with individuals who are partially educated, or at least educated enough to try to poke holes.
Who know where the gaps are and know how to exploit them.
But it's not technically even knowing where the gaps are. It's just identifying a gap that's poorly understood. Like, you know, for instance, when Michael Behe of the Intelligent Design Groups, the more sophisticated creationist, says that, you know, there's no way to explain how the immune system has evolved. It's just because when the Dover trial came up and a list of books as high as Ryan showed up with ways to explain this, they asked Behe, have you read this material? And he's like, no. Okay, well, big fucking hole of ignorance where most people on Earth are ignorant about the evolution of the immune system. Would you not agree?
Well, yeah, it sounds like the kind of thing you might want to have a master's degree if you're going to be able to really have a good conversation about it without just making a bunch of assumptions.
Exactly. So imagine now that your task is to take on someone who probably takes on a wide range of different topics that have gaps. Like, for instance, if you go to Fish Don't Walk and you look at his page, there's a couple articles that he have, including one of, like, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Oh, that trope. We're going to talk about angels on a pinhead, too? Can God lift something heavier than he can lift?
Well, the attitude of Bill, it seems, is to try to say, because if you read his whole biography, he's like, well, I went to biology class, and I did some research, but I found that creationism was better. So decide for yourself which one you think is true. That's his kind of, like, whole attitude. So the way he'll go about being like, well, I was at first fair with the evidence, is to say, like, for instance, he brings up sexual evolution in what came first, the chicken or the egg. So his solution to the whole chicken and the egg thing is that it is impossible for there to be an egg without sex, and sex can't evolve unless magical man did it, so magical man did it.
And that's ridiculous, because they actually kind of pinpointed the
evolution of sex?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, you have that big list of when things are happening, when shit split, and when it started doing, like, asynchronous evolution and stuff like that, and they actually have a point where it's like, oh, sex is happening.
Well, the invention of sex in the history of life is, you know, pretty recent, and in some species, they went back the other way. Like, there's a lizard in New Mexico. I don't know what the name is. It's too long to list, but it'll be in the notes. There's a lizard that has actually gone back to parthenogenesis, which is basically to clone yourself, to fuck yourself. But, you know, they still go around kind of rubbing each other. That's why they're called, like, the lesbian lizard. So it's like a fucking full-on dyke lizard. And I would bring that to the debate if he even went there. I'm like, you see this fucking lizard? It used to fuck, but then it said, you know what, we don't need men. And they've been doing all right so far. So obviously from that argument, you could say, well, now if you're just familiar enough with sexual evolution, you can easily knock him down. Okay, fair enough. But that's not where the debate's going to end, because in that very article, he goes on to basically just say, well, we don't know how life started. You know, the universe is really mysterious. Who created it? And blah, blah. So anytime he runs into some bit of trouble, you know, in comes that whole something needed to start this shit. And that something was my super magic man who created all animals simultaneously so they could bang one another. That's really the argument here.
So man could eat them.
Well, they are delicious. Well, some of them not so delicious, depending on their cooking abilities, but, you know, that's God-given.
Yeah, I had snails recently.
You know what I make that's pretty fucking kicking? Mm. I just make snails with some garlic and butter, and I just put that on toast with some Parmesan cheese, man.
See, I just had snails and garlic butter and cheese, and basically the snail is just the delivery system for the garlic and cheese. What's the point? What's the point?
Of the snail?
Yeah.
It's to make the snail suffer because it's delicious. I don't know. I guess you need a medium. What else are you going to use? Soy? Tofu?
Anyways.
Fuck that noise.
I just thought, I was like, I ate a snail. Thank you. I hope everybody enjoyed that little story of my life.
Yeah. So, I mean,
snails are good.
So doing some research in Fish Don't Walk kind of reveals that I wouldn't say that this particular creationist is necessarily that terrifying, but I will say that lots of smart people have looked foolish in debates because they've had to try to defend things that they don't know a lot about. You know, it's the same reason why I keep shitting on that Richard Dawkins versus the Archbishop of Canterbury debate, because they were going on about things that they don't know a lot about, and I'm just, You know, at that point, you're like, well, I'm a little bored here. You feel like a bunch of non-experts just blah, blah, blahing about something and just not making any points that are interesting or new. So move on, please. I'm a cynic.
Well, that's kind of the nature of debates. Like, is he actually going to be debating these guys, or
that's
is it more...
Clear. That's okay. Not clear from the forum post.
Because in the context of a debate, here's usually how it works. I mean, the theory of it and what this guy might be afraid of is the idea that, you know, you have to listen to what the creationists have to say, and then you actually have to rebut that, which is generally how a debate's supposed to work. But the way that it normally works, if you've watched enough atheism versus religion debates, is that atheism says a bunch of stuff, or religion says a bunch of stuff, and then the other people completely don't respond to anything that's just being said, and they just let loose with their own torrent of talking points. And, you know, it might be difficult to go in and try to have the answer for everything that these creationist guys are going to throw, but you just have to go in with your own answers as far as what we know about evolution and why we know it to be true. Because at this point, now that we understand DNA, there's really no more debate. It's all in there, man. It's all in there. It's like, oh, we didn't, but the DNA says we does. Sorry, the debate is over.
Well, here's what I would say. I mean, like, the entire time this creationist is going to try to make an appeal to ignorance. But the problem with his appeal to ignorance is that he's ignorant about things that we actually know things about. So my rebuttal to him is to say, well, if you do have objections about the limits of knowledge, I suggest that you actually try to reach those limits, you ignoramus fuck. Don't say it like that, though. Try to be a little bit more tactful. But that is essentially the problem. He's dumb, and he's just like, check out all these things I don't know. Well, congratulations.
Isn't this compelling, what I don't know?
Yeah. I'm sure it is in your own mind, you fucking moron.
When you have no idea about the time span that evolution goes on, it seems really foolish. Durr.
Okay, let's move on. I want to talk about the first topic that that caught my attention, which is, at first I was kind of like hesitant to talk about it, because this occurred way back in 2011. There was an atheist who was paraded by the name of Ernest Percy, who was parading at the, I don't know what parade it was, but he was parading under the banner of the Pennsylvania Atheists, mm-hmm. and he was dressed as Zombie Muhammad along with his colleague who was dressed as Zombie Pope. And they just had sort of like a banner that said, I'm Zombie Muhammad and rah, rah, I'm being offensive, which I'm like, cool. Because you need that.
Well, yeah, you're kind of allowed to do that in America because we have freedoms.
Well, it's funny that you should say that because when the whole thing happened, when he got attacked, when he was in the parade and basically he got attacked by a recent immigrant. I'm not even going to try his name because it's not worth me mispronouncing it again. But anyways, a recent immigrant, a recent Muslim immigrant to the country, along with his son, were at the parade and saw this. And because he comes from a country where this is not allowed and you can beat the shit out of anyone who does it, probably kill them and just get away with it, he decided that he was going to set an example to his son and say, this is how you defend Islam, son. So he went and he basically assaulted Percy with, strangling him and shit like that. And it's caught on video. There's a video of it. Now, here's what happened. After that, there was a police officer who was there. He took statements. And in the statement, the assailant admitted to actually having attacked, Percy and saying like, yeah, I yanked his beard and fucking choked him. This is a crime. Not realizing, of course, that that's not the law of the land. So this goes to trial. And the judge found that, number one, he dismissed the video evidence. He dismissed the testimony of the police officer. And he basically dismissed the whole case, saying that Ernest had basically brought that upon himself and that his First Amendment rights did not really apply in that way. I really want to read you the specific that he said. This is his own words, by the way.
This is the judge.
This is the judge. This is, I'm trying to find his name, Judge Mark Martin, who I incorrectly said was a Muslim himself, just because I read the transcripts of the court where he says, I'm Muslim, I find that offensive. It was actually meant as a kind of allegory or whatever. So.
Oh, okay, like saying that he can understand why Muslims
exactly,
would be offended.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I took a literal interpretation of it, but he's not Muslim, he's a Lutheran. But anyways, here's what he says. He says, here in our society, we have a constitution that gives us many rights, specifically First Amendment rights. it's unfortunate that some people use the First Amendment to deliberately provoke others. I don't think that's what our founding fathers really intended. I think our founding fathers intended that we use the First Amendment so that we can speak our minds, not to piss off other people and other cultures, which is what you did. Yeah, you know what? I think the founding fathers, rebellious intellectuals who overthrew a government, would agree with you, Judge Martin. Yeah. No, you don't want to offend anyone when you tell them we're no longer going to pay your taxes and we're going to kill you. Yeah. You don't want to defend that, though. You want to make sure the best way to for a revolution is for people to silently shut the fuck up and offend no one. Like, can you believe that a person would have that limited understanding of the fucking First Amendment? I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. Do you actually not understand what freedom of speech is all about?
It really does seem like there is a great confusion over what freedom of speech means and what, separation of church and state. We need more constitutional education, apparently. Not me. I'm not American. But
luckily, no. But you know what? As a Canadian, you are.
In a weird sense. I probably know more about the Constitution than most Americans, so that's kind of sad.
I would actually say you definitely know a lot more about the Constitution than most Americans, but that's just because, you know, part of our own Constitution actually does partially emulate those freedom of speech rules, because it was revolutionary at the fucking time. Remember what the world was like. It was not a place where you could talk. Speak your mind, okay? When there were crimes against saying that the king should die, this is not a world where you have freedom of speech. Oh, wait, isn't that weird? There is kind of a similar rule like that in the U.S. Oh, well, that's a different show. And it's regarding the president, man.
So this guy got away scot-free. He got to beat up that atheist because the atheist defended him.
Yeah. Now, I will say that although this feels like definitely a miscarriage of justice, I think in the end, again, it's just part of the way that we win those that kind of moral war, where there's lots of other judges who are just appalled by that kind of thing, because there's still some people out there that take that shit seriously, and not every judge is ruling with his religious book next to him. Let's just say, you know, some of them actually take that the Constitution seriously, and they're calling this guy out on it. And I think that that's what you need. You know, obviously we gain sympathy, even from people who don't think that, we're correct. They should at least know that in that regards, the other guys are wrong. And it'll just kind of make them realize that it's a pattern of behavior coming from religion. You know, we don't emulate that pattern of behavior, generally speaking. I don't want to speak for all atheists, because I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been some atheist dust-ups or situations where, at the very least, the atheist has fought back.
At the very fucking least. But I think that if we're talking as a general secular community, all right, that's been developing in both official and unofficial capacity, I think this sort of wave of secularism that everyone always is warning about, mm-hmm. that Newt Gingrich said that we should be, that the evangelicals should be warned about the coercion of the secular wave. What he really means is the limitless educational possibilities of expanding your mind beyond the fucking limited framework of your religion. But, you can't frame it that way. You're trying to run for president, after all. But yes, us, the secular sort of like movement, I think we've all agreed on certain fundamental principles, despite the fact that we wouldn't actually commit them to paper, right?
Yeah.
And I think that one of them is free speech. And it's the first most fundamental one, because we realize that at the end of the day, we're the kind of people that just, we respond to the better arguments. That's kind of how we've based our life. If you're listening to the show, that's because that's how you got there. You know what I mean? The other arguments broke down and you just came here by default. You were just like, well, I was tired of bullshit, so I just kind of went to the old bullshit zone.
And we kind of understand the fact that free speech, and this is becoming more and more apparent nowadays, is that, free speech is important. It is always under attack, and there are always going to be people out there who want to silence voices that they don't agree with.
Yep. And despite the fact that, some of those voices may pretend to be conciliary. Like, I'll give you an example, right? The Archbishop of Canterbury. Doesn't he look like a friendly little chap? Like, oh, he seems like he would be totally open-minded. Well, the problem is that recently he went around saying that it was wrong to support gay marriage because it was changing culture, and that wasn't right.
Yeah, culture never changes, ever.
Yeah.
It stays in place all the time for thousands of years. Well, maybe if you
it's
run
totally
it, it's
wrong to
dark
change
ages.
It. Totally wrong to change it, including the culture of slavery. That's wrong to change. Oh, no, cultures just change. Step out of the fucking way, you useless old man.
Usually
stick to poetry.
Yeah, usually for the better as we, you know, humanize people and start empathizing with them and, you know, figuring, hey, these people are humans too, and we should probably stop sticking it to them in all sorts of horrible ways.
Well, I hope that in the future we'll start taking our responsibility as what I consider to be basically a superorganism. And we're going to be basically use this as an opportunity to tangent to the final point of the podcast, which is to talk about epidemics. The kind of things that superorganisms like the human race has to be aware of. And what I mean by superorganism is that take an individual ant. It doesn't look like much, right? You can crush it. You could just fucking kill a million of it, and you're just like, I'm a big man. But really, ants do an unbelievable amount of work. You couldn't kill every ant, all right? They will outlast us. They are a superorganism. They change entire fucking regions. They are responsible in jungles, for instance, for two-thirds of all the foliage being moved around and displaced and changed and that kind of stuff. They replenish the rainforest. You want to go around doing that, picking every fucking branch? Well, the ants are doing it, and they're tiny.
They're stealing our jobs!
Stupid ants. Yes, these job stealers have evolved into what, you know, what some scientists call a super organism, essentially, right? Now, we qualify as that because of the way that, despite the fact that the individual human monkey, naked and out in the fucking cold, is a pretty useless sack of shit who would easily be taken out by, like,
anything. I just watched that Liam Neeson Wolf movie, and let me tell you what, nature will kill us.
Oh, my God, so bad. Don't even give it a chance. But because we have over the tens of thousands, or maybe even more than that, but I'll say tens of thousands of years, essentially evolved from a very disparate small animal groups like we see in nature, you know, like tribes of other or groups of other chimpanzees that are not more remarkable than other groups of alligators or, you know, hippopotamus or what have you, or beehives.
Hippopotami.
Hippopotami.
Your parents did a terrible job.
Anyways, we went from kind of those groups to being, massive. I want you to forget that you're a human being for a second and pretend you're like some mouse or some rat creature. You've never seen a human city in your life, and you come within 100 miles of one. First of all, it's the loudest motherfucking thing you've ever heard in your life. This weird buzzing sound that's indescribable. Lights coming out of nowhere. You don't even know what lights are, but they're coming out of everywhere. All right? Screaming machines that travel at unbelievable speeds go through areas that are just death valleys for you and your kind, right? And that's just the outer edge of it. Inside, it's sort of like predatory environments where as soon as they see any bit of life they don't like, they usually eradicate it. Usually, unless it's their pet. I mean, human beings are so dangerous and deadly. Like, you wouldn't want to be around them unless you figured out a way to kind of, like, avoid them, right? But for the most part, a deadly, terrifying organism that exerts a tremendous amount of pressure on the planet. And that's simultaneously completely denying the fact that it does this. And this is why, in what appeared as a, like, I hope this story gets some traction. Because if you haven't heard about this, the Super Bowl came to, Indiana? stupid laptop.
I don't know.
Hold on. Come on, I hate this.
You can just tap it, eh?
Can I?
Yep.
Yes. The Super Bowl came to Indiana. And at the Super Bowl, there was a fucking measles miniature outbreak. Because a bunch of anti-vaxxers showed up. And they basically infested a whole bunch of people. And it made, finally, some fucking headline news. And finally galvanized some people to say, hey, excuse me, these people are really dangerous and deadly. Like, we've got to stop thinking on an individual level and start accepting the fact, our role as a superorganism. And part of that is understanding that the diseases that we have, the flu that you have, the cold, whatever, it doesn't stay with you, does it? It transmits to your friends, transmits to your community, transmits to your fucking world now. And yet somehow we're just kind of like, oh no, it's an individual choice. You know, it's my choice. And I don't want my child to have a disease that, like autism, which is not actually at all related with vaccination, but I believe it is, so I'm just going to do it. These irresponsible morons are actually causing, like, serious problems. Like, this was just a small outbreak. But had it not been for herd immunity, or the fact that these people actually had vaccinations,
and the fact that the health services reacted so quickly and took charge of it, and
and actually knew who the fucking patient zeros were, because we're that advanced now. We track that shit. We're starting to be responsible, but there's lots of people who are not, and they are quite literally our enemy. They make things dangerous. All right, if it had not been for that, it would contaminate hundreds of thousands of people. It is that easy.
Well, it's funny because what were the statistics, the numbers on it again? Something like 13 out of 14 cases were
anti-vaxxers.
People who were, and we're not even talking about anti-vaxxers like, you know, really loud writing letters to the editor about it. We're just talking about people who made that decision that they're just, you know, oh, I'm just not going to do it, you know, and it takes a step for you to go out and actually get vaccinated. So these are just people who just didn't bother to do that. And, yeah, I think the statistics basically speak for themselves. If you don't do it, you're basically leaving yourself open for it.
Yeah. The problem that we have, I guess, is that, number one, because we don't admit our important role as a superorganism, we don't see that most of the time when we've had these kinds of population explosions, like, look at the history of civilization, right? You'll get, like, you know, say the Mayans. What what made the fucking Mayans disappear? A couple of years of drought. That's what ultimately killed them. There's no fucking river systems in the Yucatan. A couple of bad years of no precipitation, and everybody had to move on to the coastal regions. So boom, civilization destroyed by a mild fucking drought that lasted a couple years. But I mean, it's not just the one instance. Sometimes civilizations crumble because they get a little bit too populous. There's a virus that sort of breaks out and it wasn't properly contained because they didn't know what the fuck to do. Now the problem is we know what to do, but those population numbers have skyrocketed and we're no longer little city states that are isolated. A virus that breaks out in fucking Russia will come here and it will infect us. It's just a matter of fucking time. And the more we stop denying our role in ensuring not only just our immunity, but the immunity of others, then we're seriously just playing with fire. We're saying, like, yeah, I'm cool. I think we're just going to make it. And you'll be like one of those fucking anti-vaxxer morons who's just thought, I don't need a fucking shot. It'll be fine. You almost caused an outbreak, you fucking moron.
Of measles, too. What a stupid disease to have in the 21st
Not
century.
Not just stupid, but deadly. You know, Roald Dahl's beloved 9-year-old daughter died of that. One of the remaining people in the night, I think it was the 1980s, once the inoculations really took hold, one of the last remaining people to die. Roald Dahl's beautiful daughter. So, you know, why don't you go to his house and be like, I don't think I need to vaccinate my fucking child, Roald Dahl, who's written wonderful children's books, and I'm sure you would have loved if your daughter would have read your own books, huh? She didn't make it because we didn't have the technology at the time. And now we do, and people aren't using it. Be fucking responsible. You know? That's the new message, I think. Stop being a retard.
Yeah, and it's even kind of fun because in the atheism scene, I remember when, what the hell was it? Was it bird or pig? What was the latest one?
H1N1.
Yeah, when the H1N1 happened, we realized in the atheism scene that there were atheists that were like, well, you know, I don't really believe in vaccination. I think.
Yeah, that was frustrating. But that's again why, you know, every once in a while when something happens that sort of surprises, where, say, someone in the scene says something that's sexist, and you're just like, what happened? We should be better than this. And you're like, I don't want us to think that, because you know what? No one is going to be fully representative of what you believe. It's just, we're all non-believers.
Atheists are humans, and we all believe a couple of stupid things.
Don't think that we're better than anybody else, okay? It just turns out that you know a little bit more about reality than your friend. And probably in most cases, it's not even that much, you know? one step further. And we joke about that with religious people. It's like, well, you're an atheist about other gods. I go one god further. And that's it. That should be the defining thing. Do you think that makes you better? Do you think that makes you less likely to be sexist? Stop thinking that other people are better. I don't want to put that pressure on the scene. It cannot handle it.
But as worshippers of science, vaccinations are good. And if you don't believe in them, you're stupid.
You are fucking stupid. I will accept your letters. Why don't you write me if you still think that vaccinations are stupid? I beg you. I will read your letter on the show. And if you still listen to the show, don't. Don't anymore. I'm fucking sick and tired of it. And if you have other objections because you think the pharmaceutical industries are blah, 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 that's not the same fucking conversation. And don't you dare conflate the two. That's what everybody does. Their objections with medical science will seep into a conversation about vaccination. I'm like, vaccination is the greatest medical revolution in human history. So what's your argument here? You know, that's undeniable. Fucking debate with me whether or not vaccinations are the greatest fucking invention in medical science.
Until we manage to start flipping genes around and make ourselves immortal like God.
Yeah. And let's hope at that point we actually do acknowledge a role of superorganisms, because you don't need a superorganism with immortality now that is in complete denial about its own influence on the planet.
I'm sure we'll figure something good out, like that Justin Timberlake movie where everyone has timers. We'll figure something good. It'll all work out.
Yeah, well, if that movie wasn't even able to fucking hold my attention near the last half hour, I don't think humanity can make it.
Don't blame Justin Timberlake, man.
Well, I'm not blaming him. I'm just blaming the fact that the movie lost steam near the end. That's what I'm blaming.
I can agree with that.
Okay, well, you know what? I think that wraps up the show. I'd like to thank everybody who has renewed their subscription. If you haven't done so, please go on. And you know what? If you are a hardcore member, remember my deal, everyone. You're going to get a physical book. You're going to get the audio book. You're going to get the e-book as well. You will be treated like gold when we make it. But remember, this is still Save the Good Atheist. You got to save this shit in order for me to fucking fulfill my promises. And part of this show is doing this. Back to two shows a week. Back to fucking regular podcasting and regular posting. And with a new site, with forums. I'm in the business of keeping my promises now. And yeah. So please, participate in that. Part of it.
If you got a couple dollars.
Dadas.
Throw them the good atheist way.
Exactly. Okay, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.